Well, guys, welcome back to round 14, episode 9. And, you know, Tony, I was thinking all those episodes we have on YouTube, you know, all the way up to here, kind of nice. They almost add up to 9.
These are good bricks.
Nice bricks. My husband's an expert on bricks, eh?
I never really understood that statement there. Like, I would love to ask why he wrote that.
Yeah. It took me a while to figure out that you know, the address did add up to 9, those numbers. And then
I looked at it, I'm like, it does add up to 9.
Yeah, I think that was just his, you know, the bum from the neighborhood coming out a little bit. We all love the little lines, right? So we always talk about, you know, the famous lines, cut me Mick and go for it. And, you know, but that's one thing about the Rocky series that Sly wrote, all these little lines and all these words are his words. Every word, every sentence, always written by Sly. I think we can all appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and it's sometimes, like you said, it's the little ones that you, I don't want to say you forget about, but they kind of take a back seat to the motivational ones or the hardcore, you know, I must break you and the really well-known ones. But the little things, you know, where Paulie says to Apollo in Rocky III, you know, I don't sweat you. Apollo throws his gym bag on the ground, you know.
Yeah.
Those things like that are just, or Mr. T on the steps. Hey, woman.
Yeah.
Hey, woman. You know, it's those little lines that just get you. And he has such a way of writing them where the emotion that he's trying to convey, be it humor or intensity, is there. It doesn't always have to be a motivational piece.
No, and I look to, Rocky IV when Apollo's getting ready to fight Drago, and I think you posted it the other day. He says, "I feel great, Stein. I feel like I eat nails." And he says, "You know, I never tried those snails and some in the garden, but I don't want to eat them."
And that's my daughter's favorite, one of the favorite scenes in Rocky IV too. And she's 19 and she still laughs at it. She laughs at it so hard. I even look at her like, all right, it's not that funny. Come on.
Well, it's pretty funny. You know, nails, Stein.
It's just the way he says it, you know?
Yeah.
And actually Carl Weathers even laughed about that because we told him that she's been laughing at that scene for years. And he started laughing. He's like, you never know what's going to stick out in a movie when you do one. So it's
that's right. I mean, we all love to quote the lines and the little lines and, I think we've all done it, you know, at some point in time. And like you said, your buddy's in the golf course and you're citing lines back and forth or whether get you through a midnight shift at work and you start doing movie lines and it's fun stuff. So
it is. And some of the good lines that are written or said are not from Rocky. You know, some of them are from the villains of Rocky, so to speak.
Sure. Sure.
You know, the bad guys. And you start off with Apollo, who in the beginning was a bad guy. Up until Rocky III. In Rocky, you didn't really dislike him as a bad guy villain. In Rocky II, maybe a little more in there. But I mean, when he, you know, I want the stallion in Rocky, and he comes out all jovial. And then he winds it up in Rocky II where he starts saying, you know, you're going down, man, you're going down. And he's got those lines there. Of course, in Rocky III, he becomes friends and, you know, they don't look back to being enemies again, so to speak.
Yeah.
So I think he was one of those bad guys that weren't a bad guy.
No, that's right. I mean, like you said, in Rocky II, we were thinking, oh, wait a second. This isn't just fun and games anymore. You know, he's out here to prove his point. And
he definitely took it seriously. He didn't come out being the showman. You know, he came out and wanted to prove to the whole, like Mickey says, prove the whole world that you were nothing but a freak.
Yeah.
You know, you were just something that happened.
Even. I go back to Rocky II, right? At the press conference, and you get another one of those little lines, and all of a sudden, Paulie just blurts out his lungs, he's going to punch out, you know? And he's like,
Al Capone?
He just, everything stops, right? Rocky just rolls his eyes and thinking, there's Paulie again. Like, you know, that relationship we've talked about, like Paulie and Rocky, you know, being there. And I mean, why would you have him at the press conference? You know he's going to say something, right? So
I know, really. That's what it always makes me laugh about Paulie. He's the most, I don't want to say unpredictable character, but he's just definitely not a one that would be calm, cool, and collective if he needed to be.
That's right. And the other one I laugh at so much is, you know, they say, you know, you think you're going to win? And Rocky just says, I don't know, he looks pretty mad.
He looks right.
Just another little zinger in there.
Remember when he came into the ring?
Yeah.
You know, Apollo, who he expected. I was hoping he wouldn't show.
You know? Wouldn't show. Right? Just these little lines that maybe you didn't see it the first time, but if, you know, we've all seen it 20 or 30 times or 50 times or how many times
you've
seen
it. On them.
And you just, you know, it's coming and it's still enjoyable. It still
gives you either a chuckle or a, you know, ooh, or whatever, you know, the emotion is supposed to be.
Yeah.
But Apollo had some good lines, but then when he became Rocky's friend, you liked him. He wasn't really the villain anymore.
Well,
even at the end of Rocky II, when he won, you know, he put his hand up.
Yeah.
He was a classy sportsman.
And, that's right.
Didn't look back. It wasn't until Rocky III where he really had a villain.
Well,
it was a true dislike.
Speaking of villains, how about that for a villain? Anybody listening right now, we have a picture of the famous Clubber Lang at the steps of the Rocky statue.
Mr. T.
Right? And now that was a villain, right? Like he was.
Oh, yeah. I hated him. Oh, man. I mean, if you didn't dislike him when you were watching that movie, you just something was up. Because he played that part perfectly. He didn't like anybody.
No,
he wanted to just put them in the ground.
And then, you know, again, they get him in the ring like this.
He's got that angry face on, man. He's definitely intense. And he's huge, too.
No, that's right.
Huge guy. I mean, Sly found him in a, it was a bouncer competition that they were having. And they had to throw kegs and they had to throw a person like through a door and stuff. Right. And all this like a bouncer obstacle course.
So that was in fact Mr. T's film debut was Rocky II. So you know, Sly has famously picked the right people for the right roles, right? And I don't want to say Dolph Lundgren later was his first role, but is lesser known, right? Like he went with lesser known athletes. Or
he knew that character in and out. He created it. He wrote it.
Right.
He knew what the character needed. He knew if he saw that character in the flesh.
Yep.
So when Mr. T was there, he saw it. He's like, this is Clubber Lang.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was easier because originally he was going with some boxers.
Mm-hmm.
And he found out that it was easier to get the guy he wanted that could convey the emotions and the attitude that he wants, and they could choreograph the fight. Which is what they did. But Mr. T, he was in the beginning, he's yelling at Mickey, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
shut up, old man.
You know, I want him. As soon as he brought up Adrian, I thought Rocky was going to go ballistic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was not a good thing. You saw Rocky's face. I thought he was going to take his head off right
well,
there.
Well, we've talked about this on the show before, famous lines from the movies. And in the premiere of Rocky III, if anybody hasn't watched our episodes, and you should on YouTube, 1 to 8 is now available. They add up to 9. But in the premiere, when that scene was happening, Mr. T's mom walked out of the theater.
Yeah,
you because said. You know, she said, "No son of mine is going to talk to a woman." He says, "I'm acting.
I can just pretend."
So right there, you've nailed your role, right?
Yep.
You have nailed your role as a villain. If your own mother won't watch you on screen.
Sure.
So.
But he had the good lines too. Yeah, I'm going to bust you up, you know, or prediction pain and, you know, hey, woman. He was yelling at, you know. I mean, I couldn't believe he went there when he was saying, you know,
no, yeah, that's right.
Bring your pretty little self over to my apartment. I'm like, oh, that's not the way to do this.
Mm-hmm. But that's what he had to do, right? Because
he knew.
He's going to retire.
There's only one way I'm going to get him to go off the deep end.
Retire. Yeah. He wanted it to win that way, so. Right.
Yeah, he wanted to go through Rocky. I mean, he really did. And then you have, I mean, he's a villain, but he wasn't a long-term villain in Rocky III. But you have Thunderlips, who was another ultimate bad guy. Where you didn't like him. I mean, you didn't hate him like Clubber Lang, but you didn't really care for him. He came in there all cocky and wanting to hurt Rocky.
So, what do you think Rocky's thoughts are right here?
Yeah.
What the hell did I get myself into? Right.
Sure. Well. Rocky, until he had that first hit, he thought it was just the next, you know, having fun, raising money.
Yeah, that's right.
Like he said, you know, hey, first, you know, look, I mean, he picks him up like a rag doll.
Oh, I know, eh? And then we get another one of those subtle little lines by Polly when Thunderlips is walking into the arena and he turns to Rocky and he just says, why are they carrying him? You know, and Mickey says he's walking.
Yeah. I like when Mickey says how much he eat.
Yeah.
And then the announcer tells how much Rocky weighs, about 202 pounds.
Yeah, that was great too. So
Mickey like just said, smiles,
laughs. All these little things that are throwing in, right? I mean, yeah. You know, the more I think about it, I'm not even sure if they're little lines that you don't notice because everybody remembers these great lines, right? So,
yeah.
But yeah, Thunderlips was the ultimate male versus the ultimate meatball, right? That's, so that's another film debut by Hulk Hogan.
Yep,
that right? was handpicked by Sly. Like he wrote that role.
Yep.
For Hogan, and he wanted the boxer versus the wrestler for charity. So
yep,
I think it turned out pretty good. So
oh yeah, definitely made the film. Mm-hmm. After that, you have Rocky IV with the ultimate villain, who ranks up there with Darth Vader and Hannibal Lecter as the most, you know, diabolical cinema villain, whatever you mm-hmm. want to call him. Mm-hmm. Ivan Drago. And I thought I hated Clubber Lang, man. I hated this guy. But I saw that in the movies. I was like, you look at him.
Not only that, I mean, he hardly said a word and you hated him, right?
Yeah.
Like he said maybe five or six words.
The original one before the director's cut. But he also, a lot of the body expressions and the facial expressions is what made me dislike. Like in the press conference, he's making faces like, you know, who are you guys? And, you know, turn around looking at Rocky and shaking his head after he knocked Apollo down. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah,
you know, and then of course the, you know, if he dies, he dies. I'm like, sure. If he dies, he dies. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, like no, like zero feeling, right?
Zero emotion. He was a steroid, you know, communist built robot. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And just bottom line was, I want Rocky, you know, soon I defeat real champion. It wasn't, he just took it as a joke, right? Like, why do I have to go through Apollo?
And he was not happy that that Apollo had to be first.
But we do get the, obviously, we do get the match that everybody wanted, right?
Look at and size.
Again, the size difference, right?
A big guy.
Mm-hmm. David big and Goliath guy. Right there.
Yep. Yep, like they say in the movie, a true David and Goliath.
But as Adrian says, you know, all those fighters, you beat them with heart, right?
Yep. Yep. I mean, look at his shot. He hit people. So, I mean, you thought he'd knock his head off. I mean, when he was hitting Apollo, you're like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Of course, the I must break you line. And do you know it took me a long time to realize that the last round of the four fight, mm-hmm. when they come to the center of the ring and they're all beat up and everything, mm-hmm. and Drago says something to Rocky.
Yeah.
And I thought he said, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, for years, I thought he said, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you're dead. And just hit the gloves. And then I found out later it was till the end. I didn't know that. I had no idea. I only found that out last year, I think it was. It might have been the year prior. I know it was over the last couple of years where I found out it was till the end. Mm-hmm. And that blew my mind. I'm like, wow, I've been a fan for 40 years, 45 years. And, you know, I never, ever knew this. So it goes to show you, as much as you watch a film, you think you can't learn anything new.
Well, everybody's going to be racing now to the Rocky IV and watching that again. Not that you need an excuse to watch Rocky IV. Put it on, right? Enjoy yourself.
I watched the director's cut last night. I was just flicking around, and Balboa came on. And then after Balboa was over, I put Rocky IV director's cut on.
Right.
And so that was the ultimate villain there.
Yeah.
When you go on to Rocky V, you have a whole different scope of a villain.
Right.
You know, you have at first it's George Washington Duke.
Mm-hmm. Who's the bad guy. I hated George Washington Duke. You know, he was just all he is. One's for money. He doesn't care about his boxers, obviously.
No, he doesn't care about anybody. He cares about the dollar. That's all he cared about. And obviously towards the middle and the end of the film, he was Tommy Morrison. Tommy Morrison, but
Tommy Machine Gun.
Tommy Gunn in the film. Mm-hmm. Tommy Morrison, the boxer / actor.
Right.
But again, Rocky V is a tough sell for some people. He didn't really feel like, you know, you didn't feel like he deserved Rocky's attention.
Mm-hmm.
But when he became the villain, it wasn't like you were upset about it.
No. I pick things out of Rocky V, and that scene that we put up with Tommy Gunn is in Andy's bar, right?
Yeah. He
punches out Apollo, and then you get Rocky standing up, and he says, hey.
Punch out Apollo.
It's, yeah, sorry, Polly. And he says, you know, you knocked him down. Why don't you try knocking him down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a great scene. Great, well-written. Yeah. You know, it definitely got you pumped up. Mm-hmm. But it put him as the villain. And even during the fight, you know, Rocky was trying to tell him, like, look, you know, man, we were supposed to be tight. Yeah, that's we were going to be all right. And he still just couldn't get it through his head.
No, so, and I know a lot of people don't like Five. It's the least favorite of the series. Now, that's not for everybody. There is some people that I've talked to that Five is their favorite. Okay.
Oh, a lot. I actually didn't realize because I had posted something a while back, a long time ago, mm-hmm. about Five, and it's no, you know, anybody that knows me knows I'm not a huge fan of Five, and there's definitely some parts about it that I do like. Mm-hmm. There's quite a few things actually I like about it, but mm-hmm. not enough to really rank it amongst something that I would put ahead of Four or Three and so forth and so on.
Certainly not Rocky or Rocky Two. No,
yeah, absolutely not the original. But yeah, there's a lot of people that like Rocky, mm-hmm. Rocky Five. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you said, it's not for everybody, but it does. Some people like it,
but that movie can't end in a ring. That has to end in the street. Right.
Well, it had to. I mean, it was just.
Rocky's not getting. Now, Duke says he can get the license, right? But I think just the buildup and that scene that we put up.
Well, even the whole film. I mean, it wasn't like Rocky was training in any way, shape, or form. So it wasn't like you had the training scene. He wasn't really boxing. I guess they could have had it go into the ring mm-hmm. where Duke did set it up. Mm-hmm. But again, it wouldn't have made. Sense with the story.
No, that's right.
Having it in the street made mm-hmm. Duke not get what he wanted.
No.
And you knock Tommy Gunn on his butt.
You even get Duke saying, you know, another little line, you know, Balboa's a street fighter. You mm-hmm. know? So he's in the street. Yeah. Let's do this. So I think it ended that way. Is there room for a redo of Rocky Five? Absolutely. But
I would love to see a re-edit. Again, you can't say a director's cut because mm-hmm. oddly enough, John G. Alvinson directed that one, the original Rocky director. Mm-hmm. It was not Sly who directed it, mm-hmm. but having Sly get into it and edit it or whatever chooses to do, I would love to see something like that where it was put together a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Because there's scenes that didn't make the movie, right? Mm-hmm. So,
there's definitely deleted scenes and alternate mm-hmm. scenes. There's an alternate ending. Supposedly he's supposed to die in Adrian's arms. Mm-hmm. That was the rumor that I read a few times that he was supposed to end it. Mm. And the studios talked him out.
Right.
Said, no, Rocky doesn't die.
Right.
You know, he's a superhero.
We wouldn't have had Balboa.
No, we wouldn't have. We wouldn't have. No. And speaking of Balboa, that's the next round of villains. But again, he was almost like, you know, Mason Dixon's probably the least villain of the group.
Right. Right.
In my eyes, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't enough substance to really not like him.
No,
it was just,
I mean, he played the cocky, you know, I'm the champion and what am I going to be doing fighting this mm-hmm. X has been champion that I could beat with one arm. Right. So, but I think he quickly realized, I think because, you know, at the end, maybe just because he didn't seem like a villain like Clubber Lang or Drago. Mm-hmm. You know, he took on Rocky for charity. I mean, he had to do it, right? His image was shot.
Well, he did. Right? I mean, his image was a joke. I mean, they said he was fighting fighters as, you know, that were spoon fed to him. He never really had to dig down deep, like they said in the film. Mm-hmm. Which he did against Rocky. He had to dig mm-hmm. down deep. And actually, Stallone John Rivoli posted the alternate ending to that film. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and then Sly reposted it about Rocky winning.
Yeah,
and you know, I agree. It wouldn't have made sense to the storyline. Mm-hmm. It definitely was more of the original type, like Rocky wanted to just go the distance again and not look like a fool. Mm-hmm. You know, if he didn't, he wanted to win, but that wasn't the goal. The goal was to have some self respect and be standing in the end. Mm-hmm. The way he went out, walking out with the whole place cheering his name. I mean, it was perfect.
Yeah.
But the alternate ending, I mean, if it did happen, it's kind of cool. Hey, George mm-hmm. Foreman, right?
Yeah. I can't be, you know, I can't be 100% sure about this, but I imagine they do two endings because if someone's there and they go home and tell their friend who wasn't there, say, I was at the filming of Balboa and he won. And
yeah, I'm sure there's a few different reasons why they do some different endings. You know, I know that when they screen them, they get a
reaction,
a vibe for, you know, the audience. They, you know, interview the audience, so to speak, on, you know, the, how they felt about it. Did it make, did, you know, did it, end well for them, or did it feel like it was still on, you know, you still needed more?
Sure.
So I think there's a good, quite a few reasons why they filmed a variety of endings. And I'm sure that's one of them, especially now and today, having everybody having cell phones, it could get leaked out and stuff. Sure. So, but you know, you never know. I mean, the alternate endings sometimes could be better. Sometimes, like, I would love to see the alternate ending to Rocky II, where Adrian was there.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Sure. You know, but maybe maybe we'll get a collection of deleted scenes.
I highly doubt Sly reads my posts, but I know he follows Round 14 podcast, so maybe we'll put it up there.
Yep.
But I've always said for years I would love a massive box set, you know, of 20 DVDs or whatever it takes. You know,
all the raw footage,
$300 box set. All the raw footage, the deleted lines, the alternate endings. You know, John Rivoli's been posting a lot of alternate deleted scenes. I mean, where he went to drink the eggs in Balboa and he had to spit him in the sink. And so it would be very, very cool to see that.
Yeah.
Balboa's villain, in my eyes, wasn't like a villain.
No.
He definitely didn't. He didn't really have enough substance to hate the guy. You just, whatever.
That's right.
So it's definitely a little different. So and Sly obviously has his fair share of villains in his other major franchise.
That's right.
On the Rambo side.
Yeah. We start with First Blood. We start with Sheriff Teasel, right? And right from the get-go, right, you know that there's going to be a problem here because, I mean, the picture we have up now for people listening is Teasel pulling over Rambo on the bridge, right? And after he gets him out and sends him on his way and he turns around back into the town. Right. I mean, Rambo pushed it too, right? Like he wasn't innocent in this. He could have just kept walking.
He could have, but I mean,
but in his mind, he didn't think he did anything wrong. Right.
He didn't think he'd do anything wrong. He didn't. So, Teasel was one of the better villains because he was supposed to be, I mean, he's a sheriff.
Yeah.
So he's not supposed to be a villain.
Nope.
But he definitely played. I mean, he was that, you know, cocky, tough guy. Don't you tell me what to do.
Yep.
This is my town. I mean, Brian Dennehy, he played it to the letter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you just, oh, man. I did not like him whatsoever. He definitely played it well. I mean, the other officers in that sheriff department, you know, I wouldn't consider them to be villains because they were just following suit with Teasel. So he was really just the main villain.
Well, I think Galt was a bit of an ass, right? So
Galt was definitely
giving him a hard time, and fire hose and
get him behind the ears, you know, and stuff like that. But he definitely didn't.
I mean, he did try and kill him, right? So, I mean, at one point they're all hunting him, and Galt was trying to kill him. I don't think Teasel wanted to kill him. Teasel wanted to bring him in.
Yeah.
Bottom line. Teasel wanted
to Teasel, I agree. Teasel didn't want to kill him. Teasel wanted to win by putting him in jail.
Until the end. Yeah, then he wanted to kill him, right?
Then he went ballistic, so that was too different.
Yeah. But Rambo First Blood Part 2, and I know we've had that discussion. Yes, it's Rambo First Blood Part 2, not Rambo 2.
That is correct.
But quite a few villains in that, and what are supposed to be adversaries turns out to be villains, right?
Yeah.
Starting with Murdoch, right?
Yeah.
He's supposed to be working for this guy. And it turns out.
How great is that scene, though, when he's clinching the microphone, his ripped, sweaty, and veined up, and I'm coming for you, Murdoch.
That's a great, you know, you get the lightning in the background that's a great. And then you've got Erickson, right?
Yeah, Martin Cove.
Martin Cove always seems to get those, I don't want to say villain roles, but.
Well, he does. Like
or the bad guy, right?
Yeah, Sensei Kreese is definitely not a good guy. I mean, if you follow Karate Kid or Cobra Kai, Martin Cove, Sensei Kreese is definitely definitely a villain, no doubt about that.
Yeah. And then we got the Colonel. Is it Podsky?
Podsky.
Yeah. So the Russians again, right? Nazi. So it's either another villain, right?
Yeah, they had a lot in Rambo 3.
Yeah. Right.
They had a lot in that one. Now this one here. He had that. Right. He had that bow and arrow from about 200 yards out.
Right. Yeah. He was. You know, like he was always just. So that one is Lieutenant Tay, right? Mm-hmm. That we have up there now. So Rambo 2 was full of them, right? So, like you said, even Murdoch and Erickson, these guys left them, right? Mm-hmm. They could have picked them up, and they left them. And, you know, you get Troutman saying, you know, you're the one making the mistake, right? So is Rambo, and you don't want to cross this guy. So,
no.
But moving on to Rambo 3, right? We get another Russian villain, right?
Yeah, this guy, you wanted to see him blow up.
Yeah.
You just wanted to see him meet a bad demise because he was just – he played it well, though.
No, that's right. And one of the scenes that I love in Rambo 3 is when he has Troutman, you know, interrogating Troutman. Mm-hmm. Rambo has stormed the gate, so he knows – he doesn't know who he is, but he knows he's an American. He's after helping Troutman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just says to Troutman, who do you think this man is? God, right? And Troutman's reply is, no, God would have mercy.
Yep.
He won't. I mean, I've got a shirt that says that, people.
That's a great, that's a fantastic line.
Right, yeah.
Fantastic line. Because it's true, too. I mean, mm-hmm. Rambo's not going to have mercy and bring this guy in.
No.
I mean, there's only one way you're leaving this situation.
No, and he says, you know, you won't have to find him. He'll find you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think he believes him, obviously. He's a one man.
Right. No, why would you? You're a military man, too. Why would you think only one guy could do this?
Mm-hmm. But we all know how that works out, and it doesn't work out too good for him. So
not very well.
And then moving on to Rambo, or John Rambo, whatever preference you have.
Yeah, that's up for debate there. That had a poster that said Rambo, the poster that said John Rambo.
Major Tint.
So, right? Yeah.
Another right. Just – you just – these people that play these roles do such a fantastic job. You just hate them so bad, right? So
they do. They know how to play it and get under your skin. And they don't want to be liked.
Well, so Rambo took a really dark turn, right? Like it was a lot darker because they're burning villages and killing families and children. Like it really got sensitive, right?
And so, the killing was severely more graphic.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. In that one, you know, which. Yeah. It is what it is. Either mm-hmm. people like it or they don't like it.
No, that's right. Then you get Last Blood, right? So Last Blood was kind of I don't know if Last Blood was a surprise for us or just, you know, I'm not sure if everybody expected it, but we're happy that we got it. Another Rambo, right?
I was. I mean, I think when he saw the success of some of the, you know, Creed movies and stuff, and that his characters were still relevant.
Yeah.
And if he made the story relevant to the times, it would work. And it did. I mean, the Mexican cartel, you know, the trafficking of people.
That's right.
You know, the girls.
Oh, it was great. Like it was set, you know, the timeline was great and how we did it. Right. So, and you see an aging Rambo, right. That,
mm-hmm.
isn't, you know, obviously, the reflexes aren't there,
he's not, you know, a 30 year old guy or mm-hmm. whatever age he is, where he's a lot younger. These guys are now a lot younger, and you know, they all got around him and beat him up, and you know that you were wondering like, how's this going to work out here? But obviously, you knew Rambo wouldn't go down like that. But it was those two guys, him. That was that one. There was Victor, and then the brother was Hugo.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother was the one where he. That was the last one that he got.
Yeah.
That guy there, Hugo, was just, I mean, they were just these cocky, arrogant,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't think you're going to do this to me with the Mexican cartel mm-hmm. and blah, blah, blah.
But I mean, again, Rambo's psyche, I don't think it ever got repaired, right? So, and he's just pushed over the edge with his, you know, his friend's daughter, right? So, and by that point, he's just blinders on again, right? So,
absolutely. I mean, he built the underground tunnels, so obviously it was not something that was ever away from his mind.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, he felt he needed those tunnels.
And some violent scenes in Last Blood.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was definitely that's how you'd want to go.
He went back a little bit old school, right, to First Blood, where he was, you know, with the forks and the knives and
booby traps,
right?
You know,
so,
unexpected weapons and stuff. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, hey, those guys took my daughter and then they wound up killing her.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the way they go. If I had that training.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to compare him to a vigilante at that point, but he was one man show again, right? Rambo?
He was. I mean, and technically was a vigilante. I mean, he didn't go to the police. He didn't try to have anybody else find the girl. So he was definitely a vigilante.
Yeah.
The only difference between being some vigilantes kill people, most vigilantes kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And the age old vigilante, his code is to never kill people.
And some of them wear masks.
And some of them wear masks, exactly.
So people are trying to figure out where we're going, but
one vigilante wears a mask, and his motto is that he does not kill people.
Right.
That would be Batman.
One of the biggest series of all time, right? Batman. Oh, yeah. So we talked about franchises last week. We said we left a couple out because we were going to – they were just too good or too big to brush by, and we thought we'd have some fun and talk about – the Batman series that goes back to 1966 with the
66 TV movies shows. Came from the TV show, which was very campy, colorful, pow, zap, colorful, villains and corny lines with Robin and so holy,
Adam West as Batman, right? So, and Meredith as
I watched it every day as a kid, so I'm not going to say I don't like it.
And how good was Meredith,
Penguin? Yeah, that's the funny part too. They had these big. I mean, these are big names that played these villains. Cesar Romero was not an unknown. Mm-hmm. You had a bunch of different Catwomen. You had Lee Merriweather. You had Eartha Kitt. You had Julie Newmar.
Mm-hmm.
Penguin was obviously Burgess Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
Riddler was Frank Gorshin.
Yeah, these were big actors, right?
Yeah, Vincent Price was Egghead. I mean, it was
1989, they brought out the feature film, right?
1989 was the Michael Keaton movie, and that definitely was a turn for we're not going to make this a comic book film.
Let me put that back up again. We're just make because it look darker. At the, Kim Basinger, Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson. This came out in 1989, and it was unbelievably huge, right?
Oh, massive. So, this movie was so big. Jack Nicholson did it for scale.
Yeah, another Rocky alumni, right? Billy D. Williams.
He took it for scale. He said he'll take his points on the back end. And he made $60 million off of that film by taking it off the back end.
Yeah.
That's how successful the film was.
Yeah.
And it was everywhere. Batman was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely – they made it darker. They made it more realistic, so to speak.
Yeah.
Where it seemed like Batman could live in the real world type of deal. And I love it. I absolutely love it. That was one of my favorite Batman movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Nicholson's performance. That's the
Joke. Yeah. He was so good, right? He was so over the top in that movie. Whether he was pre Joker or when he turned into the Joker, right? He was still that evil. He didn't sway from how much of a villain he was.
No, not at all.
We get Michael Keaton returning again.
Yeah, I mean, with the success of any film that it does that much of a success, that there's going to be a sequel.
Right.
And Michelle Pfeiffer. Sure enough, it was. This and one Danny came DeVito. Out in 92, I believe. 92.
Mm-hmm.
And those were the most perfect cast villains.
Yeah.
They were just amazing. They just did a great job. Fun storyline again. Tim Burton at the helm of directing made it dark.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually a little too dark. They first said McDonald's pulled out of the Happy Meal deal.
Yeah,
the film was too dark. They didn't want it to go to kids.
Yeah.
But again, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
A great great take on it.
Yeah, and then in that series, did
very well.
We got two more Batmans, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. And the cast didn't slow down, right? Like, they kept adding to the cast.
No, they kept adding, and they had big names on them, too. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of controversy of why Tim Burton didn't do Forever. They took away a lot of his, creative creativity, I guess you could speak. And Michael Keaton pulled out because Tim Burton pulled out. So Batman Forever can hold its own. It's definitely campy. It's definitely a little more of the 60s style of the colors and the over the top Jim Carrey Riddler.
Sure.
Who originally was supposed to be Robin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
They offered him that role. And Two-Face with Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah.
I mean, Tommy Lee Jones can act and do anything, but that, sure. you know, but it definitely took a different turn with that film. With that film, it definitely didn't do as, and it did well. It did well. I think, you know, Val Kilmer's Batman, it did well at the box office, but it's definitely a lot more of a lighter, campier version of it, of the series. And then it follows suit with many Batman fans will say is the worst film of the Batman franchises. George Clooney himself said he killed the Batman franchise.
Yeah.
After doing Batman and Robin. And I'd have to agree with him.
Yeah.
He definitely put a nail in that coffin. It was corny, stupid, campy.
Yeah. They're just going off the name, right? They're just saying, let's try and cash in on one more.
I mean, Batman had a credit card that said, you know, it was a Batman card. He doesn't leave home without it.
Yeah.
Arnold's Mr. Freeze and telling everybody to chill. Was he shooting people? It definitely went in a direction that was not a direction you'd want it to go.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's not the first one I'll reach for. That's for sure. I've watched it, you know, a couple times. Fun movie. You know, there's not a lot of thought in it. But definitely.
Yeah, and again, if it entertains you and you like it, hey, good. That's awesome.
Sure,
you
know, that's right.
That's what the movie's for. The movie's for entertaining. Doesn't have to be you don't. Oh, that couldn't happen. It doesn't matter.
That's right. So but now that's not the first time they redid that series. So the next
time, with that one, they kind of set Batman back a while.
Right.
They were not touching Batman for a little while. They wanted everybody to get Batman and Robin out of their head before they approached it again.
So then we fast forward a few years.
But when they did, they fast forward and they went to Batman Begins.
Yeah.
With Christian Bale as Bruce Wayne Batman and Morgan Freeman was in it, and Alfred was Michael Caine.
Michael Caine, yeah. He was my favorite Alfred.
I agree.
I love Michael Caine. I love Michael Caine as an actor, so
I'm a little biased,
but Michael Caine was great. Morgan Freeman as Lucius was unbelievable.
Morgan Freeman could read the phone book.
Right. So he was great. And you know what? Christian Bale, I thought he was a good Bruce Wayne.
He did a great job of it because he did play the Bruce Wayne role the way it should have been played. And then obviously that was the first one, hence Batman Begins, where he was coming into his own and learning how to make these
you know,
weapons. And
we never got that before, right? We never seen how he became Batman and we
know
he had money.
Correct. Because in 89, Batman was already Batman. Bruce Wayne was already Batman. He didn't become Batman in that film. In none of the films did he become Batman.
No.
And he learned how to fight in that film, you know, with Liam Neeson.
He was great too, right?
Ra's al Ghul. It was not as successful financially
or
box office wise as the next one, which was The Dark Knight.
Oh my goodness.
Which everybody knows. And everybody argues, I shouldn't say argue, but arguably one of the best comic book movies made.
That's right.
Without question. I mean, between the unbelievable Oscar-winning role of Heath Ledger as Joker, Christian Bale again back as Batman, storyline, the way it was done, it was very realistic.
Yep.
It had it all. It had everything. It had it all. And then
that really puts up to the debate, right? Which was the better Joker, Jack Nicholson or Heath Ledger, right? They're totally different.
Very, very different Jokers. I mean, the Jack Nicholson Joker was a little more flamboyant, a little more sarcastic and funny, I guess, so to speak. Now, if you're a comic book reader of Batman, the Joker is definitely a maniacal killer. He just does. There is no humor in anything he does. Like Jack Nicholson's character. So to play it to the T of the comic books, Heath Ledger definitely pulled it. I mean, he was
It's funny. I like both series. I really like Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson. And I like that, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer. And I just like that. But it's funny to watch at a different time and a different series. I really like the Batman Begins and the Dark Knight. And even when they followed up with The Dark Knight Rises, right? So
yeah, I mean, when they had the Catwoman coming in and Bane, and again, those that have read the comic books know Bane breaks Batman's back, and yeah, he's one of those. And the funny part about it is that Bane was in Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm.
He was Poison Ivy's sidekick, so to speak. Sure. But again, a more realistic mm-hmm. Batman, a darker.
Yeah, Batman. A lot darker, right? You find him, he does break Batman, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're thinking, you know, Jesus, he might not get out of this. This is not good, right? So
yeah, it was very darker film, darker theme. It was so well done. It really mm-hmm. was so good. And Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale, I mean, they mm-hmm. were just – and Christian Bale actually said if Christopher Nolan wanted to do another Batman,
right,
as long as Nolan was the director, that mm-hmm. Bale would do it. Yep. I don't really think he'd have anywhere to go with it, though, because the way Rises ends,
mm-hmm.
it wrapped it up.
I thought it was great. I thought it was great how it ended.
Yeah. I mean, Bruce Wayne – again, guys, these movies are old, so if we're giving away anything – stop the show, watch tomorrow, whatever.
Yeah, pause, hit pause, go hit watch pause, them, come back.
Go 2.5 hours from watching.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, the way it ended, it wrapped it up. It mm-hmm. just wrapped it up. You really couldn't go anywhere. I mean, you could, of course. You could introduce, you know, the Riddler or Penguin. You know, they didn't do that, but they did do that. Again, we waited a little bit longer for another Batman to come out. Sure. But that was kind of not really a Batman film, where you had Justice League and Batman versus Superman.
Right.
Now, the Batman versus Superman was – that's been in developmental hell in Hollywood for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally think Ben Affleck did a great job as Batman and Bruce Wayne.
You know what? I was surprised. When they announced Ben Affleck, I was like, there's no way in hell he's going to pull off Batman.
Yeah.
He's not going to do it. Just because I like Batman, I'm going to watch it. It's like, you know, trying something new. And okay, let's try it. And you know what? I agree with you. I don't think he was horrible.
No, no, no. And the Batman that he played from the comic books was a perfect way he played it.
Mm-hmm.
By the time when Ben Affleck is playing Batman mm-hmm. has already been Batman mm-hmm. in Gotham for over 20 years.
Sure.
So he's in his 40s now, 42 mm-hmm. or whatever he is. He's grizzled. That's why he has that branding bat on the mm-hmm. villains. He's throwing them to the ground pretty damn hard. He's mm-hmm. He's not killing anybody, but he's definitely not just tying them up and saving them for the police. He's mm-hmm. he's kind of aggravated. I've been doing this long. I really haven't made a dent.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did play it well. He played it very well. I was really disappointed that there wasn't going to be a Batman solo film with Ben Affleck.
Right.
And then, of course, you have him in the Justice League films, but mm-hmm. he never did get that single shot at a solo film, which I think he would have done well. But the solo film he was supposed to do, so to speak, is the 2022 The Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And now this one goes in a direction that we haven't seen. Now you have Robert Pattinson is Batman, which, again, people have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
He is in the second year of being Batman. So he's not in the very beginning, but he's been Batman for a year now.
Yeah.
So he's starting his sophomore year as Batman. So it's definitely mm-hmm. a different take.
I liked it. The fact that he was documenting everything and he mm-hmm. called it the Batman experiment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I found that interesting. What I didn't like so much was I found maybe just because I grew up with Michael Keaton's Batman, and then you got Christian Bale's Batman. To me, I found it a bit boring, and I don't mm-hmm. want to say that in a sense where I didn't like it so much. Mm-hmm. It was darker. It just seemed like he was Batman all the time, day or night. He
definitely had very minimal Bruce Wayne screen time, but I mm-hmm. think that was because he was so young.
Yeah,
the role that in the books where it's called Year One,
mm-hmm.
he completed Year One of being Batman,
mm-hmm.
so he's 24 or whatever age he is
mm-hmm.
in that where he is really young. So he's mm-hmm. not the playboy philanthropist that we see the Bruce Waynes be. So I guess maybe they didn't want to show it much. They wanted him to mm-hmm. be more of the, and he was more of the detective Batman.
Sure.
He came to the edge of the building that one time and kind of was like, whoa, holy crap. So he's working out his his heights, mm-hmm. his fighting, yep. his stuff that he's got going on. I liked it, and I didn't like some things about it, but I did like the movie overall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was the Riddler character. I liked it, but the costume for me was a little. I don't know. It was just. Mm-hmm. It went completely in a complete different.
Sure. I think this is my opinion. I think just because this is what the fifth or sixth time they've done Batman, they're just trying to do something totally different. Right.
Yeah. And they
don't want to, just have the same thing over and over again. Right. And they want a different, and I get that too. I
mean, it wasn't bad costume but it was just a little odd.
Yeah.
Catwoman wasn't really truly Catwoman, so to speak. Like she did have a costume, but she didn't. Mm-hmm. Colin Farrell did a phenomenal job as Penguin. I thought mm-hmm. he played a great mm-hmm. role. Mm-hmm. He did that very well.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was good. Now, of course, again, that movie did phenomenal at the box office and critics. So there is going to be a sequel of some mm-hmm. kind. Mm-hmm. And we'll see where that goes. There's also talk that the Flash movie that's coming out next year, I think mm-hmm. it is, mm-hmm. Deals with an alternate timeline. And this is confirmed that Michael Keaton is Batman in that timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So in that film, we will see a older 60-year-old mm-hmm. Michael Keaton as Batman, or so, mm-hmm. however old he is. I don't know how old he mm-hmm. is. Where he goes from there, I don't know if it's a one-time thing or. Mm-hmm. And also too, Ben Affleck is in that one as Batman as well.
Right.
So it's an alternate timeline where they go to the Ben Affleck world.
Yeah.
They go to the Michael Keaton world.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We'll see.
Let me ask you then. So we won't go with the TV show. We'll just do the movies. Which is your favorite Batman series?
Well, I wouldn't, as far as the series go, as far as lumping it all together, as far as the mm-hmm. acting, the action, the grittiness of the film, the comic book accuracy, I would have to say the Nolan series, mm-hmm. the Batman Begins, Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
Liking it for my own personal memory, younger, enjoying it, seeing it for the first time on the big screen would definitely be the Keaton films,
mm-hmm.
not the series of that film.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right.
Batman Returns.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Batman Returns. Batman, but those two mm-hmm. would be my favorite as far as just nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, more comic book like, mm-hmm. less realism.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as a realistic and just a gritty, dark crime drama, so to speak, that happens to have a mm-hmm. detective who dressed up like a bat would be the right. Nolan series.
I mean, we even got Gotham, right? The TV series, they put that out. So mm-hmm. At least I'll say this. The one thing that you mentioned earlier, you know, like that Carl Weathers had told you and your daughter, did you like it?
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
That is all that matters. If somebody says their favorite is Batman and Robin, mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah. The thing is, at least with Batman, you have choices, right? You're going to have people that like the Robert Pattinson, the Batman. You're going to have people that like Christian Bale. You got
89 to now. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have a lot of different decades of fans of that mm-hmm. Batman.
Mm-hmm.
You have our age group that likes the 89 Keaton.
Mm-hmm.
You have a little bit of a younger age group that maybe likes Val Kilmer.
Mm-hmm.
You have the younger age group, maybe in their 30s, that likes the Nolan's mm-hmm. series, Christian Bale. Obviously, this one here is going to be even a younger group.
Yeah. We'd like to see what you guys think. You know, leave us a message in the chat or on Round 14 on Instagram. And, you know, we'll post what's your favorite Batman. And we'd like to see some of the answers and the reasons why.
Yeah.
Because people listening. On the network. It could be
for whatever reason you like. I mean, with the latest entry with the Batman, Pattinson has the best of both worlds. He got all the little girly Twilight lovers. And then you got the guys that want to see an action film. So it's, and they're all probably in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, they got a lot of different decades of Batman that those generations like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reasons why they like them. So there's no right or wrong answer to which one you like.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I think it was, you know, good discussion on the Batman. I mean, like I said, I hold Batman on a pretty high pedestal. It's
my favorite. I mean, I've loved it since I was a kid.
Cars, right?
Yeah, even a little kid. Like I said, I did watch the Adam West series. Mm-hmm. I used to read the comic books. I had a bunch of different Matchbox Batmobiles, and
sure,
you know, it's a and the thing that I liked about Batman that turned me on to Batman the most was he had no superpowers.
No,
he like Ben Affleck says, and what's your superpower? I'm rich. That's his superpower.
Yeah.
But he was just a guy. He trained hard. He learned how to fight. He was a detective. He studied this. So in a kid's mind, I could be Batman. Mm-hmm. I could train and do this and do that, and I could be Batman. I don't need to come from Krypton. I don't need to be getting bitten by a spider. I could be Batman. Yeah. So it was realistic to me in that manner when I was young.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he did get, you know, you saw him with the marks on him. You saw him with the pain, right? The bruises.
Oh, he definitely learned how to fight the hard way. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. No, people didn't take pity on him.
Yeah. I look back at, you know, the Christian Bale series and Michael Caine in Batman Begins when they pinned him in the house. It's on fire. And Alfred says, you know, what's the use of doing all those bloody push-ups? You can't move a log off yourself.
It's you know? So great. That's okay.
He was so great good.
Line. Great right? line.
Yeah. So I thought maybe we might do a little trivia, and we've added a little bit of a music here. So I'm going to play a little quick video here, and we'll get in some trivia. How about that, eh?
That's got 80s blockbuster written all over it, man.
If that doesn't want to make you grab your rollerblades and head to the rink, I don't know what does, right? So you're going around
trivia time.
Batman circle. So what do you got for Batman trivia?
I have five questions.
Okay.
Like we always do. We do the five.
Okay.
You want me to go first? You want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So I'll start off with something relatively easy. I think it is easy anyway. Batman.
You always say that,
and then it's anyways, not.
Go ahead. I get nervous when you say I got an easy one.
Okay, I won't say anything. Okay, I'll just read the question. All right, 1989 Batman.
Yeah.
Who killed Bruce's parents?
Who killed Bruce's parents? Jack Napier.
There you go. See, I told you it was easy.
Yeah, I was going to say the Joker, but it wasn't really the Joker yet, right?
So Jack Napier.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to flip a question to you then.
Okay.
This is an easy one for you. What were the names of his parents?
Oh, that's it.
Of Bruce Wayne's parents.
Easy one. That is an easy one.
Yeah.
Thomas and Martha
Wayne. Okay. All right. Easy. See?
Yeah.
We ease into it. All right. Go ahead.
Ease into it. There you go. Okay. All righty. So let's see here. The Selina Kyle in Batman Returns.
Yeah.
Name the actor and the character name of her boss.
Of her boss. Oh, Jesus. I know where the character was. He was Max.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his last name.
First name is Max. That's correct.
Yeah. And
the hell get a quarter name? Point there.
Quarter point. We're doing really. I don't think we're okay.
We got quarter first point. And last name actor, first okay. and yeah, last name what, character.
Okay, right, I'll quarter point. For you. And this the actor was.
Come on, you got it.
Oh, I got. I'm drawing a blank.
No good.
No.
Max Schreck.
Yeah.
And Christopher Walken.
Oh, Christopher Walken. Jesus. See. Yeah. All right.
You know, Selena.
Yeah. You know. Oh, he was so good in that role, right?
Oh, he was awesome.
All right. It's going to do with that question, but you already answered it earlier, so okay. All right. In Batman Forever.
Okay.
I'll give you a hard one.
Okay.
Two-Face, his hench women. What are their names?
That's a good one. That's a good one. Do you want the actresses' names or the characters?
Just names? The characters' names.
Okay. Sugar and Spice.
Sugar and Spice. Very good.
And Drew Barrymore and Debbie Mazur.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
I have actually a Batman Forever question for you next. See that? Mm-hmm. It worked right in there. What was the character name of Nicole Kidman's character?
Nicole Kidman.
Ooh. In Batman Forever. Let me give you a hint. She was a doctor.
Yeah, I knew she was a doctor. She was, I believe she was a psychiatrist, was she not?
Mm-hmm.
and that's all I know. I don't know. It's something corny. I know it's something corny. God, you think I would study these, right? Obviously, I'm not cheating people.
How can you study 40 years worth of Batman? Yeah, you
know? Well, that's it, right?
So much. Chase Meridian.
Dr. Chase Meridian. Okay. All right. Since we're getting a little harder here now. Okay.
Hey, I only have one more than you.
Oh, yeah?
You have one. I have two, right? Okay. Did I get two? I think so, right?
Was Batman Returns set at Christmas time?
Was it set at – yes. Yes, it was.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's an easy one. All right.
Okay.
So I got a hard one for you.
Okay.
So 1989's Batman
has
a significant anniversary. What is that significant anniversary? Not in the movie, but what in significant in real life?
In what is Batman's anniversary? Oh, that's the 50th anniversary.
Good.
Existing.
Yeah. May 1939 is when it debuted, right? So
Bob Kane.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
All right. What is Poison Ivy's name in Batman and Robin?
The character?
Yeah. Uma Thurman played. I know she played Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah.
But what was her name as the character before she became Poison Ivy?
Tony, I was going to say Poison Ivy, but I thought I was going to say Uma Thurman, but I don't know.
I didn't mean to go so hard. I thought
it was
kind of easy.
I guess I just watched Batman all these years, right? Batman. So.
Pamela Isley.
Oh, see, these are good. When you said these are easy questions, I was all worried.
I didn't say they were easy questions. I said the first one was easy, and you got the first one.
Yeah, all right. So
I only have one more.
All right.
One you should get.
All right. Go ahead, and then I'll ask my last one because it's.
Okay. All right. In The Dark Knight, finish this Joker quote.
Mm-hmm.
What doesn't kill you
only makes you stronger. Stranger. No, not stronger. Stranger. I was going for dramatic.
That's what you meant.
Yeah.
So all right. Stranger. You got two out of five.
All right. So in
that's not too bad.
Justice League.
Ooh.
Six members of the Justice League.
Oh, you might get me here.
Can you name them?
All right. So we got Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Cyborg.
Mm-hmm.
Flash.
Mm-hmm. One more.
Aquaman.
Boom.
Boom.
The Stallion is on fire tonight.
So I know my Batman.
Yeah, that's good. No, that's good. All right.
I'm 56. I probably got 50 years of Batman fandom. So
there you are. Okay. Well, since you did so well there, maybe I can pull out.
I went to the trivia Bible.
I went to the. I don't know where I put it. Jesus. All right. Okay. So since you did so well on the Batman, I thought we'd pull out my Rocky trivia book
from
our buddy Rocco.
Good job, Rocco. You got me last week.
Rocco, he's 13 years old and he wrote a book when he was 12. I mean, when I was 12,
I have no idea.
Trying to worry about my chain coming off my bike.
Exactly.
Right?
I don't understand, but good for him. That's okay.
So let me ask you.
Go to Amazon and buy Rocco's Rocky trivia book. Yeah,
Rocky 4 questions.
Okay.
So where is the fight between Apollo and Drago?
What casino or Las Vegas? MGM.
MGM. And, okay. There.
Yeah.
I'd like to warm you up with an easy one. Right? All right.
See what happens when you win one. You get these digging deep now.
So true or false?
Oh, boy.
Drago did not throw a punch at Creed in the first round. True false. Or false?
False.
And the answer, of course, is false. We all know that.
When you first said that, I thought I was wrong. I'm like, wait a minute. I know you threw at least one punch.
All right. What do we got here? I'm just flipping through the book here. Okay.
Oh, boy. The pressure on the spot.
Okay, so we got one more. We'll go all the way back to Rocky II.
All right.
So Rocky II, he's in the bed, and the nurse comes up and asks him for his autograph. Says, my kid would die for your autograph. What does Rocky sign the autograph?
What does he write?
What does he write?
To my good friend, Charlie Flynn, who I don't even know. They didn't write the who I don't even know part. But
good night, everybody. No stumping the stallion this week. Rocco, I'm going to have to look in the book a little bit.
I know. He's going to have to dig in that book deeper. I feel, yeah, you know.
No, but we all enjoy the trivia, guys. And
it's, you know, fun.
We have some fun. And hey, you last guys are week probably screaming answers. Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. But great show, Tony. I always had fun, you know, talking a little Rocky, talking a little Rambo. And one of the biggest series, the franchises. Depends on which one you like, guys. I mean, they're all there, right? So, but anyways, this was fun, Tony. And like we said before, we are on the last of the Action Heroes Podcast Network.
Yeah, that's our streaming audio, on audio podcast.
Yeah, you can listen to us on the road. And, yep. You know, we really enjoy being on there with some great podcasts. Again, we have an upcoming episode. It's a long road where we break down First Blood. So this was good.
It was good. Always good. Always a fun time. And guys, like we said, throw in some ideas if you want for some episodes. I mean, Tim and I have a backlog of episodes. We're going to cross the bridge on each one of them sooner or later. But you never know. You might have something out there that'll spark our interest as well and say, hey, yeah, let's do this. It doesn't have to be Rocky or Rambo, obviously. It could be anything in the action world or the 80s world or the Stallone world, wherever you want it to be. But always a pleasure. Love doing the show with you, brother. And thank you, everybody, for watching. Go to YouTube and watch the past episodes. And then if you watch those and this one, it equals out to 9. So look
very
at that.
Good. All right, guys. Well, thanks very much. And we'll see you down the road.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.